welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
I just had something drop in my spirit as we were worshiping this morning. And it's a question that I heard asked. It's a question I've asked myself through the years. But I just felt like it has been asked also by people, persons, I don't know. But just this question. Sometimes you're dealing with difficult situations. And it's like you get an impression of thought. There can be impressions of thought that are good and impressions of thought that are bad. Almost like a force you feel against your mind. And you can get in some spots where you're going through stuff, whatever it might be, and you get these impressions of thought that are bad. It's like, oh, I know it's bad. I know it's wrong. I know better, but how do I stop this? How do I stop these thoughts? It's almost like I'm getting bullied in my own mind. And I remember the Lord, I remember just praying through that and dealing with that, and the Lord just speaking very clearly. He said, you know, spiritual things are a whole lot like a radio station, frequencies. You know, there's frequencies in this room right now. You can't see them with your natural eyes, but they're there. There's powers and principalities we wrestle against. You can't see them with your natural eye, but they're there. And what the Lord told me, you know, Colossians 3:1 says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And he just told me to tell you to just take a little note of inventory. You on purpose came here this morning and set your mind on Jesus and thought about his love and his mercy and his grace. And something happened. And what the Lord told me as I was praying through that once, he said, Ed, he said, if you don't like the song you're hearing, then change the frequency of the channel. Change the station. Change the station. You know, you can, you know, it's like if I'm listening to a certain station that plays certain kinds of music, and it's not the kind of music that's really good for me, if I keep it on that station, you know, I'm not proving anything. I got to change the channel. I got to change the frequency. I got to tune in to another channel. I got to set my mind on things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. I got to sow to the Spirit, and of the Spirit reap life. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Perfect peace when you keep your mind stayed on Him. You're not in problem-solving mode here. You are simply in dependency on Jesus mode here. You're simply looking unto Jesus, knowing that He is the author and that He is the finisher. I'm not leaning to my own understanding to get out of this one. I'm simply tuning in to Jesus. I'm tuning my gaze into Jesus. And the finisher of my faith is going to tell me what I need to know. Praise God. And in that communication of my Savior to my heart, there's freedom, there's deliverance, there's answers. But I'm not trying to determine and figure out the answer. I'm just looking unto Jesus. I'm tuning in. You did that this morning. There was a certain peace. There's a certain grace. And the Lord would just say, that's not only legal to do on a Sunday morning. That's legal to do at all times. You can bless the Lord at all times. That praise can continually be in your heart. That is the answer sometimes when you're experiencing the impressions of thought that you know aren't right. You can tune into heaven. You can tune into heaven. You can tune into heaven. It might seem like cheating. It's not cheating. Tune into heaven. The Lord told me this once years ago. He said, because I had that same situation once where it's like, oh man, the Lord just dealt with me to praise Him. And I thought, Lord, I got to bring closure to this verse. He said, you never have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me, ever. You have permission in the middle of Satan's confusion. That demonic wisdom that's earthly, sensual, and devilish. You don't have to solve that puzzle before you can praise me. No, you by faith know that you're looking into the eyes of a loving Savior who loved you and died on that cross for you. And I am the finisher of your faith. You're not the finisher of your faith. I am. Look unto me. I've given you my spirit. He's the one who's going to lead and guide you into all truth. He'll solve that puzzle. And you might be amazed at the way he solves it. Many of my solutions are love solutions. When I told you in my word to bless those who curse you, to do good to those who hate you, to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, do you realize what I was telling you to do? I was basically keeping you tuned in to things above. Keeping you tuned in to things above. Yes, you're going to bless, you're going to love, and you're going to do good. Forget about what it looks like in the natural. It might look like you're being taken advantage of, but what you're doing on the inside is you're not allowing to be overcome by that evil. You're keeping your mind as you're blessing and doing good and you're praying. What are you doing? You're keeping your mind on things above, and there's power there. There's solutions there. There's answer there. There's ability to stand in the middle of the thing you're going through there. Impressions of thought. Can't turn them off. Yes, you know what you can do? You can turn your heart up toward me. You can set your mind on me. I will still the avenger. I will bring peace to your soul. As you're spiritually minded, life and peace just happens. As you look unto me with your prayers and supplication in the middle of anxiety, the peace that passes understanding happens. Oh, God is just saying this morning, there is victory in that area. You don't have to be intimidated by your own flesh. You don't have to be intimidated by those powers and principalities. There is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit that's here this morning, as you've been worshiping God, he is no different than tomorrow morning at this very same time. He's still in you. He is still with you. And when you set your mind on things above tomorrow at this time, life and peace happens there and then too. Don't try to solve the puzzle. Don't try to figure it out. You don't like the song you're hearing? Change the channel you're listening to. Set your mind on things above. Where Christ is, the author and finisher of your faith is. And there will be peace, and there will be life, there will be victory in that place. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yeah, like we're saying, you know, as you're thinking about, you know, Mona and Peter and Maddie just coming up in your heart, it's good to just be praying. You know, like I love something the Apostle Paul would say regularly in his letters. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, giving thanks, praying. You know, something about a remembrance, almost like taking that. He would take that as a cue from the Holy Spirit to be praying and be connected with the people that God was calling him to minister and reach out to. So as you think about these guys, just be praying about them and just, you know, believing that they are just walking out every step God's ordained them to walk in. Well, this morning we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul just kind of says something in passing, but it's really quite significant. You'll find out the Scripture is a lot like that. The Word of God is rich. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, you know. The writer will begin to say something, and in the process of making his point, kind of make a few things along the side, and those are huge, amazing truths that we continue to build our lives on. And so here we see in 2 Timothy 1:9, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, he says, talking about, you know, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That's pretty profound. When did you get the supernatural call that God placed in your life? It was before time began. There was a time before time began. Amplified says, who first saved us and then called us with his holy work? We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. But we know it now. Since the appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer, death defeated, life vindicated in a steady blaze of light, all through the work of Jesus. That's the message. It's an amazing thing to think about that there was a call that God has put on our lives before time began. And that's the eternal part of you. God knew you would be here before time began. Time is really more... Time has a functional purpose when it comes to finite things, natural things. We measure time. How many times The earth revolves around the sun as a year, but we really do it to measure and gauge natural things, whether it's our bodies or expiration dates on our food or whatever it might be. Really, time is the functional purpose of time is to measure finite things. When you step over into eternity, then time really loses its purpose in that sense. The scripture says, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Yes, this body is getting older. It is marked by time. It is mortal. But the inward man is not mortal. He's not getting marked. The inward man is not getting marked by time. It's that part of you. I don't care if you live to be 120. There's going to be a part of you that just like, you know, just living, you know. No matter how old you get on the outside, the inward man desires to live, that inward person. And here we find out something about our call, that we are called of God before time began. That is very, very profound. And what I want to look at this morning is simply the fact that you are called of God. You are called of God before time began. You know, it's interesting, as I've become a Christian, believed on Jesus, and received his love and his forgiveness in my life, I've found out almost accidentally, which I know is by design in the Word of God, but I've almost found out accidentally that the big philosophical questions of life are all clearly answered by the Scriptures. You know, you don't stop to think of it in those terms all the time. You know, I just came, Jesus, I sinned, Holy Spirit revealed to me my sinful condition, I knew that I needed Jesus, I needed a Savior. But the big questions of life, where do I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? That was like the big USA Today poll. Number one question, if you could ask God anything, what would it be? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? And again, when you begin to walk with God, you don't just realize that God loves you and he forgives you, but there's more that happens to you when you become a Christian. Let's see, in Ephesians chapter, first thing that I want to talk about as far as you are called is the first aspect is hearing the call, okay? There is a call on the inside of each one of us. Each one of us has a call. And when we were given that call, before time began, God isn't trying to figure out what to do with you based on your known tendencies. There was something that predates your existence, where you were in the mind of God. And so there's no sneaking up on him with our lives. This is what we'd call sovereignty. Sometimes we get a little bit afraid of the sovereignty of God when we try to walk by faith. Faith and sovereignty are compatible. It's important to understand some things. And one of the things you got to realize is that when you became a child of God, the Bible says in Corinthians, he says, he placed you in the body according as it pleased him. In other words, my faith has nothing to do with where I am in the body of Christ today. It was a sovereign act of God. Now, with faith, seeking God, I'm perceiving what that is. But there was a sovereign act of God before time began that he purposed what and who I would be, and the purpose for my existence. Powerful, deep stuff, I know, this morning. But we're going to bring these philosophical answers to these great questions of life. We're going to bring it down to where faith meets real life and understand the fact that I'm called of God, and what does that mean in my day-to-day life, and how can I answer really that call? The first aspect of really knowing you are called is there is going to be a sense of hearing. I'll just say hearing the call. And the first place you're going to hear that call, really, is you're going to hear it in the Word as you begin to see what the Scripture says about your life as a Christian. Like we just said, I'm a part of the body of Christ. How did I know that? The Bible tells me so. And there's other things the Bible tells me so, too, that help me to hear that call. In Ephesians chapter 4:11, it says, for he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, there's going to be a maturing that God is going to use those giftings for the ministry to help us all grow up spiritually so that we're not easily fooled. Hard to fool us. We know our Lord, we know our God, we know His Spirit, we know His Word, and we're following Him. That's part of the functional purpose of that, what we'd call the fivefold ministry giftings. But it goes on to say, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That verse 16 again here in the Amplified. For because of Him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly and all its functions grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. This is a powerful passage of Scripture because it really shows us two aspects of what we'd call the call. Here you see a call, and a lot of times you think ministry, you think verse 11. Are you apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? That's a call. That's a very small part. In fact, you'll notice the word there in verse 11, it says some. Some. Not even many. Some. It's actually, in terms of a fivefold ministry, a minority of the body of Christ is actually called to what we would call the fivefold ministry. Now we are all called to the ministry. As we find out later here, the growth of the body of Christ isn't just taken care of by those five offices. They're there for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, when we get up here on a Sunday morning or when we're doing fivefold ministry stuff, the design by God's word is that there is an impartation of the Spirit, there's an impartation of the word that causes you to be equipped, not just for your own life, but to be a minister of the life and the love and the grace of God that's on the inside of you. In other words, there's going to be a part where he goes on to say that in verse 16, every part does its share that causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, the fivefold ministry, the sum group, the minority sum group, can't cause the growth of the body. All they can do is they can do their part and equip, but every part doing its share causes the growth of the body. So we all have ministry on the inside of us, as it were. There's all a part that we have to play in the growth, in the maturing, in the developing of the body. And you'll notice too, truth in love. Truth in love. That's a different paradigm from the church as it relates to politics. When you see politics, and it doesn't, you don't have to really look too far, hard and long, you'll realize everybody believes they're right, but there's very little truth in love going on. When you're in the church, it's not good enough to just be right. It's the truth in love that causes growth of the body. Paul points out later in 1 Corinthians, he says, man, if I had the gift of prophecy, understood all mysteries, had all knowledge, but without love, if I can't suffer long and be kind with my fellow man, I'm nothing. Love matters when it comes to the body of Christ and growing up spiritually in truth. So when we're talking about you are called of God, we got to realize we're kind of starting from the 30,000 foot view. We all have a place in this body. Every part has a share. All right. So everybody has, I like that it says you're joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Another, I like to say there's a supply, basically. The joints and ligaments, which is supplied when each one with power adapted to its need is working properly. We all have a part in this body. Okay. It's just such an important starting point when we talk about you are called. Everybody was called into some part of this body. And again, don't kind of think of the religious paradigm. Well, if I'm not in the ministry, the fivefold ministry gifts, then I'm not part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, you are part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. You have a part of Jesus Christ and you have a part to play. And your part is vital to the growth of the body. The fivefold ministry has a part to play too. They're really here for the maturing, the equipping of the saints. So it's something that will happen on a Sunday morning, a further equipping. Maybe you get something by the Word and by the Spirit that helps you to further enable you to live for God and to be a light for Jesus. So that's part of it. That's kind of some, again, high level nosebleed stuff that we got to look at, that you do have a part. You know, even the world understands the importance of knowing that you're valuable or that you're important, or, I mean, you'll hear, you know, from Barney on up, you are special, you're the only one, there's no one like you. And it's good for people to have a sense of hope and not despair. That's good. You know, or is it Stuart Smalley? I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. You know, self-help stuff. And you can self-help your stuff for a while, but what happens ultimately is you bunk up against your own flesh, you bunk up against your own weakness, your own frailty, your own frustration, and you realize that you need something bigger than just a positive attitude toward yourself. You need somebody who loves you deeply, regardless of what you do, a throne of grace you can always go to that's bigger than the approval of man and their liking me. You realize that there's a Savior who loves you and is for you. That's the stuff that's going to keep you steady. But here's the powerful thing, like we said about God, in answering the philosophical questions of the day, not only is there a high-level call that I have, but he goes on to say something more specific in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are God's," and amplified, "we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand," that's before time began language again, "for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." So now it's almost like the microscope. I remember when I was a kid at Christmas time, I wanted a microscope so bad. And I did get one in my, it was a very simple one, but it was like 100, 200, 300 power, or times, I should say, of magnification. So you would start out with the 100, and then you kind of get the 200, get a little closer, and the 300, get really down to the cellular level. And that's kind of what this is. You know, if you can almost think of this as the 100 times magnification. Okay, I got a part in this body. That's good to know. I've got a call on my life. But he goes and kind of magnifies it a little bit closer and says, not only that are you a part of this body, but you are his own handcrafted handiwork. And within that part of your body, there's good works he's ordained you to walk in. And you're going to find out that as you're walking with God, there's kind of two things you're navigating at once. Number one, you're kind of navigating the high-level stuff. You know, you could call this vocational stuff, seasonal stuff, where you're going to be kind of navigating in this call seasons of life, where you're going to be doing different things, different seasons and eras, and you will have grace for those seasons and eras. I remember well when I had to move from a programming era to a ministry era. Seasonally. And when I was here, still here in my programming era, and God was calling me to the ministry era, I tried to stay in my programming era because that's what I knew. That's what I was comfortable with. And I was making really good money in my programming era. You understand? And so I was running the numbers, and to me it was more, you know, Julie and I said this, you know, we kind of said it tongue in cheek. We're going to make that first million, and then we're going to step out in faith and go into the ministry. And it never quite works out that way. And we were just kind of here in this era, and all of a sudden 9/11 hit. If you remember, when 9/11 hit, when it came, if you understand anything about technology, I was a contractor. Contractors were gone, and then there was a freeze on hiring. So you were out, and there was no way back in, and everybody was scared. And it was like, wow, that's an amazing thing. I kind of felt that stirring in my heart and just kind of, you know, was running the math. And all of a sudden when that hit, I remember going to try to stay in programming, even though in my heart I knew it was time to move over into ministry. And what I found is I could not recreate in my own ability the supernatural grace that I had from God in this season. I couldn't supernaturally recreate the grace of God in the season for programming I had at the time in my own strength and ability. It was hurting me. You know, even according to the math, it seemed like it would be financially better. It was worse. I was trying to stay in an arena and an area that the favor was gone.
The favor was gone. And this is important to understand something. If God is changing a season in your life and the favor is gone from that season, don't take it personal. You got to realize if the grace is changing, you're just flowing with where the grace is. I remember starting at a church in Minnesota. We were all excited. Julie and I knew exactly the church where God had called us, and the pastors kind of did a little interview with us. They knew we had come from Bible school, and someday we were going to go out and start a church, which we obviously did. But I remember a pastor just looking at me and saying something very profound. He said, "Ed, you feel like God has called you here?" "Yeah, yeah, Pastor, we're so excited to be here." He said, "I just want you to know something, Ed. There's coming a day when you're not going to be satisfied to be here. And when that day happens, don't think I've lost the anointing. Don't think people just don't love God as much as you do. Realize that there's a grace and a change that's taking place, and look out to where God is leading you to." I like to call it a divine dissatisfaction. When you're navigating seasons of life, there's a supernatural dissatisfaction. Why? I should really just be having fun. I mean, just last year at this time, that was just such a serious job satisfaction. Now it's like, yeah, something's different. Don't get critical of people. Look up and say, "God, you're really in charge here. You're really Lord." And it is a humbling thing. When you've been successful at something for a long time, and all of a sudden you don't have the grace to sustain something that you kind of thought and attributed to your natural ability, and just realize, wow, God's favor is really on me a lot of this time, and I didn't quite realize it. You know, I mean, I know theologically, you know, to give him the glory, but really, it's true. When it's time to change seasons, you know, vocations, there will be a grace that will change, and you're going to go where that grace is. That's very humbling. That's Jesus being Lord of your life. So, but I want to make a distinction here too. Because a lot of times we think of God's call, God's plan for my life, we think of navigating those seasons. And I kind of did a sermon in just like 5 minutes or 10 minutes on that, but I just want you to know there's something even more profound than what God's called you to do vocationally. Within those seasons, there's another call. Not to just the body part or to what you're to do with your life, but there's a call to good works, which he's ordained you to walk in. You could be in that season of your life for 20, 30 years, who knows, 5, 10 years, whatever it might be. Within that season, there's another call. There's a call to good works. You know, the Lord called us to a certain church for a season and a period of time, and that was cool to get that call, to know that seasonally. But within that, there were good works within that season he called us to. And when you're talking about hearing the call, you're going to be hearing the call, first of all, in the Word of God. You got to know that the call is there. You got to know, before you can hear the call, you know, really clear in your heart, you got to know that, hey, I am a child of God. I'm his workmanship. There's good works he's ordained me to walk in. The Spirit of God is going to deal with me about those good works. Let me say this too about the good works. There's a time and a place for each of those good works. It's not just a to-do list that you can check off and get through. There are good works that God's preparing you for right now. A good work, God may be working with you right now to prepare you for the next good work. So there is wisdom and design in God's timing for these good works and these things that are going on in your heart. But important to realize that. We're going to hear, we're going to find our call in the Word. Jesus found his call in the Word. He opened the Scriptures. The Scripture says where it says of him, you know, in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Jesus knew who he was in the Word of God. That's part of how we know the call of God. We see it in the Word of God. But here's another aspect, too, of hearing the call of God in your life. And that is this. In Philippians chapter 2:13, it says this, and this is really talking about the inward work of hearing that call. It says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." This is wonderfully humbling stuff. Philippians 2:13, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." Sometimes people get hung up again when you talk about free will and sovereignty and all that kind of stuff, well, God has a sovereign plan for your life. And you know what? He's working in you to will. But here's where you do have a choice, whether you're going to cooperate with him and flow with his will or not flow with his will. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, he said, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. I can look back at times in my life. Like I said, I've stayed in seasons where I knew the Spirit of God was leading me, and I incurred stuff I didn't have to incur just because I was stubborn and I didn't want to move. But I'll tell you what, God was all the while working in me to will and to do, to will and to do. And this is an important thing to realize. As you kind of sense things on the inside of you, desires, things that you like, things that you enjoy, things you have a passion for, to just realize there's something bigger than just natural talents and ability. That's God in you, working in you to will and to do, to will and to do. There's a desire that God gives you. And there's something about acknowledging God. We kind of sometimes distinguish my natural talents and abilities and God's grace. Well, there's really no. If there is ability that you have and you're good at something and you have a tendency, you recognize that and you lift it up to God and say, thank you for this ability. Thank you for the ability to do these things and to be able, Lord, just use them for your glory. Work in, you're working in me to, he's working in me to will and to do. I'm acknowledging him by every good thing that is on the inside of me. And I'm saying, God, this is from you. Thank you for it. I'm not standing off saying, well, this is my ability, you know, apart from God. No, apart from him, you can do nothing, Jesus said. That ability comes from God. And when you acknowledge him with it, man, the things that he can do, the things that he can do, when you just, when you acknowledge what he's given you and say thank you. It's kind of like Jesus feeding the thousands. And they're saying, we just got a few fishes and loaves. Jesus took the fishes and loaves and he lifted them up to the Father and said, thank you for these fishes and loaves. And he multiplied them. When you take what you've got and you just lift it up and say, God, thank you for this. God will do supernatural things. Now, let me tell you something very key to knowing on the inside of you when God is working in you to will and to do something. You're going to find the thing you really like to do that's really God, you're going to have a supernatural patience a lot of times for that thing. Where people kind of want to move on to the next thing, you want to stay there and stay with it, and you want to see it through to the end. You have a patience for something. You have a patience for a skill. Now, I'm not just talking about thinking of ministry stuff. This crosses over to ministry, natural talents and abilities. Do you understand whether God has called you to be a pastor, a fivefold ministry gift, or whether he's called you to be an electrician or a plumber or whatever it is that he's called you to do, or just fill in the blank, whatever it is. That's all secondary stuff. Wherever you are, there's people there. Yes, you're going to get a great sense of job satisfaction from whatever natural vocation God calls you to do. But there's another satisfaction in your heart wherever you're going to see people. And you're going to realize God put me here not to just enjoy the provision for my family and enjoy a satisfaction of doing a good job, but there's people here too. There's people I'm praying for. I'm fishing for men. We're all fishers of men, whatever the natural vocation is. And so as you begin to realize that God has called me to do this, he's given me the ability, be listening on the inside. What do I have patience for? What is it that I just really enjoy doing and seeing through to the end? And that's many times a really good indicator of God working in you to will and to do of what he's called you, what he's called you to do. So, and it's going to be different again. One body, many members. The scripture says, "For we do not class ourselves, nor compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." When you get that sense of what God has called you to do, and you've got that patience and you've got that desire, there will be a witness in your heart that's like, "Wow, this is amazing." This is it. This is what God has called me to do. Why doesn't everybody want to do this? Anybody who's really living for God should have a passion and desire to do this. This is where we got to be careful. Because just because I got the sense and the witness of what God has called me to do, we're one body with many members. And you got to realize that just because that person isn't your member of the body doesn't mean that they're not significant, that they don't have value, and they don't have importance. This is where you can see that connectedness in love, truth in love, knitted together in love. I have a passion and a desire for something, a patience for something, and you should have patience for that too, if you only knew. Well, in a sense, it's true because in a high-level sense, we're all called to the same calling. We're all trying to get the world saved. We're all trying to let people know Jesus loves them. But we're doing it through different body parts. And so we got to respect, yeah, there's going to be some different passions and desires. God's going to be working in you to will and to do in a way that's different than he's working in me to will and to do. And it's not compromise just because I haven't adapted your call. In fact, you can get killed trying to do good things, adapting somebody else's call when there's no grace to do it. There was a time when the Apostle Paul, just in his missionary journey, he wanted to go some places and the Spirit forbid him. Preaching the gospel. Don't go there. Don't go there. He wanted to go to Bithynia. Well, we find out later, Bithynia got reached. The Apostle Peter writes to Bithynia. Maybe he's the one who reached him. I don't know exactly. But God had somebody else doing things. You can't take on somebody else's call where you don't have grace and anointing for it. It's dangerous to do that, even if your intentions are good. You got to do what God has called you to do. Sometimes people will cave to the pressure of other people. No. Make sure you got a witness of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you got peace in your heart about whatever it is you're doing. Because Jesus is your Lord. And you always have the freedom to be led by the Holy Spirit. Anytime any other human being intimidates you from being led by the Spirit of God, you have another Lord, whoever that person is. Nobody intimidates you. You have an anointing that abides within. You need not that any man teach you. And when that anointing bears witness, and it witnesses with the working and the will of God he's doing in your heart, you are free and released to do what God has called you to do. But no man controls you. I don't care if they're in the ministry. I don't care if they're preachers. I don't care if they're prophesying over you. It means nothing unless the witness of the Spirit of God is in you. And you've got the go ye on the inside by the Spirit of God. He is your Lord. Thank God for ministry gifts that can edify and strengthen and help mature the body. But you only have one Lord who's calling shots and direction in your life. This is so important as it relates to walking in those good works he's ordained you to walk in. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, to lead and guide you into all truth. Jesus said he'll take the things of mine and he'll show them unto you. Somebody's got a great call and plan and they're putting pressure on you to have to do it or else, whatever. Say, praise God, thank you, Lord, for the great ways God's using you. You know, I'll pray about that and minister about that, but ultimately I'm going to do what God has shown me to do. And it's good to encourage people. There's nothing wrong with exhorting one another. Well, it's called today to exhort one another as you're getting things in your heart. Nothing wrong with doing that. But it's important to realize that ultimately, at the end of the day, we are not the Holy Spirit for anybody else. And we shouldn't presume to be that. Don't compare yourselves amongst yourselves. I had an interesting little observation. It says, in March of 81, President Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. What do us remember that day? And was hospitalized for several weeks. Although Reagan was the nation's chief executive, his hospitalization had little impact on the nation's activity. Government continued on. On the other hand, suppose the garbage collectors in this country went on strike, as they did in Philadelphia. That city was not only in a literal mess, the pile of decaying trash quickly became a health hazard. A three-week nationwide strike would paralyze this country. Who is more important, the president or a garbage collector? In the body of Christ, seemingly insignificant ones are urgently needed. As Paul reminds us, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. It's so important as we're doing this, as we're getting our feet, and we're finding out what God's called us to do, to be an encouragement to others, but don't feel like they got to do what you're doing or else. You know what I'm saying? This is where there's a working together in love. It's really great when you begin to walk with God. You just realize, man, praise God, he is in control. He is Lord.
and I am following the leading of His Spirit. It's wonderful. It's humbling, but it's great. You know, Jesus, when He was down here on the earth, what did He say? He said, I just say what I hear my Father say. I do what I see my Father do. Jesus scored no originality points in His entire ministry. None. Everything He did was under the lordship of His Father. But boy, did Jesus score. He scored salvation for all of us. I'm not down here to score originality points for my glory, but I am down here to score. I'm down here to listen to what God is willing, working in me to will and to do, and to say what I hear Him saying, to do what I see Him do. There will bring anointing, it'll bring grace, it'll bring fruit for the kingdom of God. Praise God. So as I'm looking at this stuff, we don't want to get into the games of ego and comparison, things like that, but there is a satisfaction in the same way you could have from a natural job. Like I said, wherever you are, you're a fisher of men. You know, you might be that electrician. You're on the job and doing your electrician stuff, but on the inside, you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're fishing for men wherever you go. And you'll find there are two kinds of satisfaction. There will be the satisfaction you get from being a great electrician, and there will be a satisfaction that you get from being a good fisher of men. And that's not gauged by how many people you pray with. It's just gauged by doing what God has showed you to do. It could be a smile. It could be a gift. It could be just praying for a person they don't even know in your prayer closet. Whatever that is, there is a satisfaction of heart that you get from doing what God has called you to do. So that's hearing the call. Then finally, the other part, part two, is just simply answering the call. And answering the call is something that only you can do. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 12, I give thanks to Him who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this. Christ Jesus our Lord, because He has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to the stewardship of the ministry. This is really cool when this happens. When you're going through your life and your Christian walk, sometimes you can feel like I'm just being faithful. I'm just doing what God's called me to do. There's nothing dramatic. I've got things in my heart I can see out there. You will find that you will wake up someday and find there is a grace and an anointing and a boldness that you didn't have before. You almost wonder, is this the same me? And you might start thinking in your head, what was the scripture I read yesterday? What was the thing that I did yesterday? There's nothing you did specifically that caused this grace and anointing to come on your life. Faithfulness over time. Faithfulness over time. You find yourself talking different and having an authority and a boldness and different things, but it's like there's he enables you. There's an enablement. Sometimes it's going to be a step of faith. You just do what God has called you to do, and you step out in it. It's all, there's a supernatural enablement. It's a grace. And you know, it's not like we started at the very top of the deal. Not works that I've done. His purpose and His grace, He's called me to do it. But there's an enabling to do it. And so one of the ways you answer that call, this might kind of sound, just be faithful with where God has you right now, doing what you know God has called you to do today. There's nothing wrong with thinking out, seeing out where God may have shown you, maybe some spiritual glimpses and vision, but be faithful to what you know for sure God has called you to do today. It's working something in you. You know, those little growth charts, a lot of us have them in our house where our kids line up on the wall and you draw those lines. You can't see yourself growing with these eyes, but you're growing. And when you're in that place of faithfulness, there's a growing that's taking place on the inside of you. You see, Satan wants to exalt people out of due time, and it causes them to fall. The Bible says God will exalt you in due time. What is that? That faithfulness. You're kind of going through some stuff. And man, when you've gone through some stuff, pretty soon, praise God, you have on the inside what you need to do what He's called you to do. There are some things that He's working out on the inside of you. But there is an enabling. And so you got to realize again, that strength, that ability, it comes from God. You know, when Moses was called, some of the questions he asked was, you know, who am I to do this, Lord? I'm not eloquent. How can you possibly use me to do this?
You know, and God showed him that it was, you know, it was going to be his power, you know, and he would, you know, it was not going to be about Moses' natural man ability, but that God was going to be the one to do it. And this is kind of a little interesting side note, if you're kind of into different little things, the trivia about movies and stuff. I kind of talked about that a little bit last week, but if you ever watch the Moses and the Ten Commandments, the Charlton Heston one, when you hear God's voice in the burning bush, that's actually Charlton Heston's voice. Charlton Heston plays the voice of God calling himself in that, in kind of this deep resonating voice. But kind of to that point, this little piece of movie trivia, when God calls you, he's going to call you in a way you can recognize the voice. And you can hear it, and it's good, it's right. It's a voice that is, yes, this is good, this is God, to take that next step. There's going to be something familiar about it. The same God that made the cross real to me, the same God that made his forgiveness and peace real to me, that same Spirit is going to bear witness with my spirit about these next steps to take, about answering that call. And as we're looking at, just looking at some of these things, it's important to realize, too, that you're never going to get to a place in the natural where you have arrived to where you're going to feel like, you know, because of your ability. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. As you're waiting, as you're being faithful, what are you waiting on? You're waiting on that witness of the Spirit of God. You're waiting on that go ye. You're not waiting until you're perfect. You're not waiting until you believe you've got victory over every area of your life. What did the Apostle Paul say? Not that I've already attained. This is one of his latter epistles, one of his prison epistles. At this point, he had been caught up into the heavens. He'd wrote many different books of the Bible, you know, pretty much evangelized a lot of the known world at the time. And what does he say? Not that I've counted myself, that I've already attained or am already perfected. He goes, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. In other words, there may be some times when you're feeling like it is the time, but you think, oh, but I've got areas in my life I could do better. Well, the Apostle Paul knew that there was still, he didn't stop growing in God either. It's not like you're growing in God and you're getting victory over things in your life and then you graduate with perfect liberty and perfect freedom and now you're going to do the ministry. That would be nice. This is after 15 years. I don't count myself to have apprehended or have already attained either. No, I'm still growing, I'm developing, I'm doing what God has called me to do. So we can't put this pressure of perfection expectation on us before I can answer that call, before I can step out. No, he's working in me to will and to do. I know that he is going to alert my heart when it's time. When God calls you to do something, one of the things that you'll notice is there's repetition. There's kind of two things that go hand in hand. When he's getting ready to move you out, there's a divine dissatisfaction, which is a good thing. You're not satisfied with what used to satisfy you. And there's also, I like to say, a Holy Ghost nagging. He keeps bringing that thing back to your mind. You think, I thought I got over that thing. It might be a year later. It might be years later. He brings it back to your thinking. He'll just very sweetly, gently lead and guide you and bring it back through repetition and through peace. You know, he'll give you a sense of that peace and that grace to do it. But he said here, he wasn't already perfect, but I'm still going for it. And let me just encourage you this too. Even if you make a mistake as you're stepping out, that doesn't mean that you weren't supposed to step out. Anybody who's stepped out into anything has made mistakes. And one of the great examples I think of along these lines is one of the classic Super Bowls between the Steelers and the Cardinals. I was actually pulling for the Cardinals in this Super Bowl, but the Steelers ended up winning it, and they ended up winning it on the most amazing play. I think it was Antonio Holmes was the receiver, and he makes this amazing grab, toes, inbounds, getting pushed. It just like the most impossible catch. And a lot of times we think that was the play. That's what we remember. He was just, that's what caused the Steelers to win the Super Bowl. A lot of times what people forget about is the previous play, the ball was also thrown to Antonio Holmes on the other side of the end zone, and he missed it. I mean, right at that point in the time, the coach could have called him out of the game, said, don't you realize you're supposed to catch the ball or, you know, be sarcastic or something like that? No, they kept him in the game. They went right back at him the other side, and he got it. There will be times that you're going to fall down. It doesn't mean that you missed God, that you weren't supposed to be there. Not at all. You're going to get right back up. As a pastor, that's my heart. Get you back up. Let's get back to the throne of grace, mercy and grace to help, and let's go on. Okay? That's a big part of being successful. It's not never falling. Anybody who's really successful, they're just really good at getting up. You get good at getting up. And each time you get up, it's like, man, he loves me. He's for me. Before time began, you knew this. All right, praise God. Here we go. You haven't given up on me. I'm not giving up on me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing for the prize of the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. And I love this. A lot of you guys have probably heard this already, but I think it really applies. And this is just one of our Teddy Roosevelt, who said this, the man in the arena. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, and who comes short again and again. But there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows in the end triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. So at his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. That's a great line of being courageous and stepping out. There's a lot of truth to this. There's a lot of faith. There's a lot of elements of not being afraid to fail. A lot of that is pride, and it's humility to step out and say, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to go on. I'm going to do whatever I can do, Father. Because really, this is the time. This is our time. This is our time that we're in the game. I've shared many times just how I've had my dream. I used to play football and dreamt that I was back in high school, and I was on the football field. I was a running back and a strong safety and just loved football. And I was just, and you know, you get those dreams that are so real. It's like, wow, this is amazing. I am really young and I'm really playing football and I'm just really into it. And I'm going, you know, and it's just like just tearing it up, having a really great game in my dream. And then I woke up. It's like, oh man, bummer. You know, it was one of the dreams that was so real and it had me back there. But the Lord spoke to me out of that dream, because as I think about that, you know, that precious little slice of high school time where you're under the lights on a Friday night in Carson Park. It's like, that's your time to shine and to do your deal and to leave it all on the field. And the Lord just dealt with me too. You know, Ed, now is your time to shine on this earth. These are your days. It's a vapor. It's precious. This is Friday night. It is Carson Park. You are under the lights right now. You're in the game. And yeah, if you miss a pass, it's okay. Get back in the game. Stay in the game. Don't take yourself on the sidelines and wait for the clock to run out. Stay in the game. Do what God has called you to do. You're precious. You're valuable. You're important to what God has called you to do. And, you know, finally, you know, I love, you know, just kind of the call of God. Also, I heard a voice from the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who shall go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. What is that a reference to? That's just a reference to a heart that is responding to the call of God and saying, yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to go in the game. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to step out in faith. I may fail. I may drop some passes, but I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and I'm not going to be intimidated. And I did want to just get one. I'm just going to read this right out of the Bible here. And this is a real live example of a young person, a little boy who was called
Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3, it says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Eli was the priest. "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes began to grow dim so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel." This is little boy Samuel. "And he answered, 'Here I am.' So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me.' He said, 'I didn't call you. Lie down again.' And he went to lie down again. The Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel rose and went to Eli. He said, 'Here I am. You called me.' He answered, 'I did not call you, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lied down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone, who hears it will tingle.'" So Samuel could perceive, or, you know, Eli could perceive that Samuel was being called. But you could see out of that little story, only Samuel could answer that call. Eli could not answer Samuel's call for him. Kind of gets back to other stuff. And this is something they warned us in Bible school. Never call your children into the ministry. It's the worst thing you can do. They'll get out there. They'll experience the persecution of the ministry and wonder, "Gee, am I just out here because mom or dad wanted me to be out here?" No. Everybody, whoever, whatever your call is, you got to know in your own heart, God has called you to do what he's called you to do. Nobody controls your life. Mom and dad love mom and dad. They can raise you, but mom and dad are still not the Lord of your life when it comes to what God wants you to do for your life. And most mom and dads aren't trying to be Lord. I mean, you know, they're doing good, but it's important for you to realize that God is going to show you. Only you can answer that call for you. I was so blessed by the testimony. You know, Peter and Maddie Larson are getting ready to go to the mission field. And Maddie, from what I'd heard, that Maddie had that call. I know Pete had a call earlier before, even in his life, a sense of a call. And Maddie just had that call. It wasn't something, it was just this invisible thing, like a Samuel calling. It's on the inside, working to will and to do. But there's that call, and it's unique to you. Not only did he love you and die on the cross for all your sins, you are his workmanship. He has put something on the inside of you, and the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. For God's gifts and callings are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they're given. He does not change his mind about those to whom he gives grace or to whom he sends his call. You are called of God. You've got something amazing going on the inside of you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's good works he's ordained you to walk in. There are seasons you're called to walk in, and within those seasons, there are good works, things that he's called you to do too. So like I said, you know, whether that vocation, whatever it is, natural or ministerial, is really irrelevant to that higher call that's on the inside of you, those good works he's ordained you to walk in. There are people he's going to have you pray for, to love, to minister, to shine. And I realize you're a vital, vital part of that. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for each one that's here this morning. And I just pray, Father, that just by the power of your Spirit, that you would just confirm to them that they are in fact called. They are called to a part of this body of Christ. And if they are called to be a hand, there are certain things that hand is going to pick up. Good works. They're called to be a foot. There are places that foot is going to go. Whatever the call is, there's stuff, supernatural stuff, so that like Jesus, they may say, "I must be about my Father's business." You have given each one of us a business to be about. People, precious lives to connect with and to shine before, Father. I just pray for each one here this morning that you would just help them to hear the call that you're stirring in their hearts, Father God, and help them to answer that call. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, you are my Lord
I'm your child. Where you lead, I will follow. Help me to hear your Spirit inside me, working in me to will and to do of your good pleasure, which you've prepared for me before time began. I will answer the call. This is my time. It's Friday night. I'm under the lights for this vapor of life. I'll stay in the game. I'll do what you've called me to do. If I drop a pass, I'll get back up again. I'll catch the next one. Use me, Lord. I'm called by you. It's an honor to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are called of God. You are that part of the part that causes growth to the whole body when you're doing what God has called you to do. Don't compare yourselves amongst yourselves. Don't look at people up here who are on a stage with a microphone projecting as being any more valuable. They are not at all. We are all valuable, and I don't mean it in a Barney sense. I mean it in the good works God has ordained you to walk in. You're going to be doing what God has called you to do. When you're saying what you hear the Father say, doing what you see the Father do, that is optimum job satisfaction, living for God.